you for joining us today. Welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I'm Michelle Rowan with Franchise Business Review, and today I am talking with Clarissa Bradstock, CEO of Any Lab Test Now and the 2021 recipient of the Crystal Compass Award. That is an award that's given by the Women's Franchise Committee to someone who has made significant contributions through leadership within their franchise organization, the overall franchise community, or their local community. And Clarissa actually checks all those boxes. She has led and been involved with the Southeast Franchise Forum, the Women's Franchise Network Atlanta chapter, and lectures on franchising at Kennesaw State University and Georgia State University. So there's no better recipient this year than Clarissa. So congratulations on just receiving the award this year, Clarissa.
Well, thank you so much. I am so honored and humbled by the award. It is such an honor.
Yes, well, we were thrilled to give it to you. So this is where I always kind of start the conversation is, how did you get started in your general career? And then how did it lead you into franchising?
Well, it's kind of interesting with my beginning of my career. I always say I started when I was 14 years old working as a dishwasher at Dot's Country Kitchen. And the reason I mention that is that I learned a very strong work ethics, but also that experience got me into the hospitality industry. So my next big step was after I graduated from college, I went to work in the restaurant industry, became a restaurant manager. And then through that, I then got into technology. And then positioned into actually franchising, got into healthcare technology, and then became involved in franchising back in 2007. So an interesting journey, but it started all the way back in when I was 14 years old.
You know, and I should have known that from the beginning because I feel like I instantly connect with people that come from restaurants. When you're in hospitality, there's so much you learn, and it doesn't even matter what age you're in. I look for it on resumes anywhere in their career. But you are dealing with so much. You are client facing, or customer facing, you're dealing with the back house. So that's such a great experience, I think, for any business position. But I should have known that. I should have asked that. But you definitely have a hospitality type of personality to you, I think.
Well, and I'll tell you, being a server, I think everybody should be a server in their life, because you do, like you said, you've got that working the front of the house, the back of the house. But the greatest thing I learned in that is being able to multitask. I mean, you're doing all of these things at once, a very fast pace. I actually loved it. I mean, I just loved it. And I've actually thought when I retire one day, if that's ever, well, I think I might, to keep my mind sharp, maybe being a server again would be fun.
Yeah, you're a glutton. I don't know that I could do it again. It's fast. It's really, it's a fast paced job. And it's, I remember even holding on to those jobs when I got my real kind of sit down jobs, because the money's good too. And and it keeps you active. Once you go from that role to sitting in a chair, your body changes so fast.
I tell you, I hear you. But what a great experience to have that hospitality background. And then just getting into technology was really a significant shift for me, because back, it was in the late 80s. And that's when computers and all of that and personal computers were booming. So it just ended up being a perfect time.
Yeah. So let's talk about the transition to technology and then into franchising. What was the landscape like for females in that industry? I also have a technology background too. And did you experience that there was a lot of other females coming up with you that you could connect with, or did you feel siloed in any way because of your gender?
It was very much, as you said, a very male, especially back in the late 80s, a very male dominated structure with technology companies. I think I was one of the few employees that was a female, but definitely the only executive. And, you know, going back to that time, there were things that happened that now would be totally unacceptable. We won't go into those details, but it's just, I'm just so glad to be that our culture has moved beyond, or made progress, I should say, made progress in those areas. And now we're seeing more and more women in technology. So that's exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And franchising too.
Yep.
Okay, so tell us, You can either start with a challenge that you faced along the way, or tell us about an inspiring or an empowering moment that you had in your career that really changed the way that you either ask for what you want or the way that you lead.
I think probably the first experience that was really empowering to me is when a new supervisor came in. He was the VP of operations for the company, and he was the chief operating officer, and I was the VP of client services. I was in my late 20s. I graduated from Auburn with an English degree, again, went into hospitality, didn't really have a business background. So I was a little bit insecure with my background, right? And felt in some degree, because I was so young, I was 28, 29 years old. And some of the people who worked for me were, you know, in their 40s. So I was a bit insecure about my age and, of course, my experience. And the new chief operating officer, we worked together for about 4 or 5 months. And he had formerly been the president of ADP and had a really strong corporate and technology background. And he pulled me aside and said, "You have a lot of talent. And I think you can really go places." And that's where I shifted from feeling like I was unworthy to, okay, I need to foster and really nurture that, because he must be right. That's what I kept thinking. He must be right. I mean, he's been around for a while. So I think that was really what changed my mindset to be more accepting of taking on responsibility and leaning in to what I deserve.
Yeah. So do you feel like having someone kind of point that out to you has changed the way that you lead younger people coming up in your organization, or has it changed the way that you recognize or the time that you take to give feedback to people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I will tell you, his style was very brusque, you know, almost military. My style is a lot softer, but it has definitely impacted the way, knowing that those type of communications can make such a significant difference in somebody's career.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't know that I've ever recognized that someone needs it. I offer it up always when I see it, and I praise that, but I never thought about it from their standpoint, that it could just help them feel something or recognize something in themselves that they don't see. So that's a right. That's a great tip, I think, for leaders to think about. So I want to ask you, we are connected on social channels. And what I love is that I love to see, and this is pre-COVID, the adventure side of what you do. It seems like you travel a lot, and it seems like you're doing a lot with your husband and your children. And I'd love to just kind of talk a little bit about the balance of family and holding kind of higher positions and having the time commitment you have to work. How does that all play out for you? And I don't want to ask about, you know, the mom guilt. I think we all recognize that and get that, but really, how do you balance everything? What is your plan of attack on that?
Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun balancing everything. And I think it gives me perspective. I was remarried to back 14 years ago. And at that time, I had a 14-year-old and 11-year-old, and my stepchildren came in, and they were 3 and 6. So we had 4 kids living in the house, and all of a sudden, and by the way, that was exactly the same time I started working with AnyLab Test Now. But for me, children and being able to balance, it was such a relief, because I'm the type that if left alone, I would just work all the time. And the children help you see what the priority is in life, and you can take joy just by being with them. So that has really helped me keep the balance. Now that youngest child is actually a senior and going to college next year. So it's going to be really hard, you know, seeing and being a true empty nester, but I think it provides the balance. And I never felt guilt in my years of raising my children. And I think they have appreciated what I've done. And I think I've been a really good example for them, even though they all seem to be taking completely different avenues to grow their career outside of business. So
I love it. So I have another question for you that I did not prepare you well for this. I gave you kind of a standard set of questions, but I think you do such a nice job of prioritizing giving back in your career and in your personal life, just the way that you lead. And I'm wondering, how do you feel? Do you feel like you have any strategies, or that it was something that you were conscious of as far as the way that you involve your corporate team or your brand and getting more involved in giving back and being involved in their communities?
Yeah, really, a really good question, because I have always, way back when I first started my career, well, even when I was in college, I would do things that would be giving back and you know, helping with the homeless, working for Literacy Action. And I've always tried to keep that balance, especially before I had children. I was actually a hospice volunteer, a lot of different things I like to do to give back. And then when you get in the throes of your career and you have a family, it's really hard to take the time to give back, right? You only have so many hours of the day. You try to involve your children when you can, but they can't necessarily participate in everything. So I actually scaled back on some of my giving back during those peak periods. And as I became, you know, shifted into a leadership position, especially when I became the CEO, what was real important for me is to take the time and mentor our staff that we can work as a team in giving back. And I'll tell you, it's also for employee morale. I mean, we have always had pretty much a virtual office, even before COVID. So the time that we could get together and do things where we're helping pack food and make dinners for people, it's the time that we could really commune. So it was really important for us as a company and for, like I said, the team building aspect.
I didn't even really think about that. I didn't know that your office was virtual before COVID, but I think that could be something as we come out of COVID and people talk about staying remote. I think that's an excellent opportunity to kind of combine doing something great with the team building activities. So that's, I think, something that I want to think about how we incorporate. Mm-hmm. What do you think drove you to get involved and to volunteer before you had kids? I feel like I've gotten more or better at that as I get older. So just thinking about younger executives that are watching this, what's a reason they should get involved or kind of what drove you to do that?
I've always had a giving back type of mentality. I grew up in a poor family and was able to go to college on the Pell Grant, which was fantastic. And I've always believed in, and you know, paying it forward. And in a way that, especially when I started volunteering, I couldn't give money, right? I mean, all I could give is my time because we were struggling to, you know, we're a young couple. So it's just been part of my core value, I think, throughout my life.
I like that. So how about, how do you feel like you got involved in the franchise community outside of your brand? So you came into franchising, and I think it can be a little intimidating for people as they come in. How do you put yourself out there? Or what are some ways that you can connect with others and just start getting more involved with the franchise industry overall?
Participating and being active. And I know it's a challenge because we all have, you know, 12 hours worth of work that we need to squeeze in. We have 24 hours worth of work that we need to squeeze into 10 to 12 hours, right? So then to say, oh, do I really have time to go and meet and mingle and network with people to learn more? And at first, for the first couple of years, I was heads down busy in franchising. I didn't reach out as much as I should. But then once I got involved, I saw that getting involved and working and learning from your peers helped me on that front end so much. And I wish I had done it sooner because I would have saved myself a lot of mistakes, right? So it's just real important to do that. And you build a family and community. And then it becomes easier when you're looking for a new vendor. You go to your trusted resources that you've known for years and ask them, what experiences have you had? And it shortens your work cycle and it makes you, in the long run, much more effective. And you get to meet a lot of great people.
Yeah, you know, I think that's great. We have Cassidy Ford is on our committee and she has talked about you got her more involved in the local women's franchise network. And I would implore anybody in franchising to just reach out and get someone else involved, ask them to get involved, to give them that opportunity. So I think what we're seeing more of is that the International Franchise Association is much more committed to diversity within our organization, hearing from different people than we've heard before, getting people of different colors, genders, everybody up on our stage to talk about their experience and to learn from. As you are someone that is so involved and really has helped kind of shape people or bring them into the industry, can you think of any ways that we can help support other voices, either on our staff or within our industry, to kind of raise their hand and say that maybe they have something to share? How can we shine a light on that? And how can we bring more people into our industry?
I think one of the things is we have to ask. I mean, I know that sounds like a simple thing. So many times we don't ask, right? We just assume. So I think reaching out and getting them involved and then mentoring. Another way that thing that I like to do, and we work with interns. So we work with Auburn University and also Georgia State and get these interns coming in. We've had several of the interns have ended up becoming full-time employees. So it's just a great way to get that diversity in. And you're also mentoring young people. And for us in our home office, we have a very diverse culture, and I'm very proud of that. And I'm also very very supportive of the LGBTQ community. I have children that are of that community. So it's just embracing, asking, and getting to know people. I know that sounds really simple, but and being accepting.
Well, I think it doesn't sound simple, but I think maybe it felt more difficult before because you were forced into these kind of, I would say, superficial networking conversations. So you would see people and you'd kind of ask this higher level. But I feel like now with Zoom and the way that we see people in their houses or the way that we're connected to each other on social, you do have an opportunity to learn more, ask questions about more specific parts of their life or about their children or things like that. And just knowing that other people have similar lifestyles as you or similar interests, I think can help us get a little bit deeper in creating those connections.
Yeah, and I think letting those, being authentic and who you are opens up because you never know someone that you're talking to may have had that experience as well.
Yeah, agreed. I like that. So if you today, Clarissa today, ran into Clarissa 20 at 20 years old, what would you say to yourself or what advice would you give to yourself back then?
I think it's the same advice I give my children. Again, I at 20 or, you know, I didn't really know what I was going to do with my life. I did not have it. And I was so, I don't want to use the jealous, but envious maybe, of people that went to college and knew they wanted to study X. And then they got out and they got a job in it. And they just had this vision of what they wanted. I really didn't have that vision. I had to figure it out on my own. And what I would tell myself is what, again, what I tell my children, work hard, find out what you love. Don't put any constraints on it, like, boy, I love it, but maybe this isn't the most respected job or field, right? You know, don't even look at it that way. Look at it and do the best you can. Enjoy what you do. Find out what you love, and then do it with a passion. And if you do that, your career will take off. You will take off, and you'll be a happy person. So that's what I would tell myself.
That's just great advice.
Stop stressing quite so much and just let it go and work hard.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point that a lot of people don't know what they're going to do. And a lot of people probably aren't doing something that ties to their degree. So it's okay to change direction,
right,
and be comfortable with that. How about when you were kind of figuring that out and going along the way, did you set any 1 year, 5 year goals or plans for yourself? Or did you really just kind of move on to the next thing when it just didn't feel right where you were?
I was pretty much the latter. I knew as long as I worked hard and was committed and working hard. And what I mean by working hard isn't necessarily hours worked, right? It's really loving what you do and being totally committed to it. Then I knew that it would work out for the best. And so I didn't necessarily have a roadmap, but I did know that when an opportunity would come up, there were many times in my career that fear would kind of make me think, do I really want to do this? Can I really do it? And the other piece of advice that I would give myself back years ago is let go of that fear. And I hate to say it, fake it till you make it, right? I mean, you have to give yourself an opportunity to learn. But if you're getting an enrollment being advanced, you shouldn't expect yourself to know everything in that role when you start. You're growing in it. So don't beat yourself up if you make mistakes along the way.
Yeah, that's a good one too. No, I like that. Okay, anything else that we haven't touched upon? You're one of the people that stands out. When I first came into franchising, there weren't as many women to kind of see, but you do stand out as someone that always takes time to answer questions and to guide people. So do you think that we've missed anything else? The idea just being that We don't all have it figured out now, nor did we back then. But you're always so put together. And I think that, you know, people see you on stage and they think you have it all figured out, but what can we tell younger women to help them feel more comfortable and come up and ask us those questions or to get involved, or how can we help them more?
Again, I would go back to them being involved and your point exactly, just come up and ask, right? And that's the thing I love about the franchising community that I found out real quickly, is that it is such an open environment, right? Franchisors will share their experiences, best practices, and all you have to do is ask. At first, you're a little intimidated, but you realize everybody's so forthcoming with information and support that, you know, take that chance, even though it may be uncomfortable, to reach out and just say, I have a few questions, can you help me? And work with trying to find a mentor or two that you can really rely on to just call at a moment's notice and see how they can help you. It's just overcome that discomfort of reaching out to begin with.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about, we've all been kind of locked down in quarantine, so we're not traveling as much or doing things or going places. Any books you've read, any virtual events you've attended or podcasts you're listening to that you feel like have helped keep you connected to growing as a person or in your business? It can be personal or professional, but just what can we tune into that might help us?
Yeah, a couple of, one that I'm reading right now is called The Stoic Challenge. And it's an interesting thing about how you perceive and look at life in Stoicism. So that, I think that's, it's really interesting. And I would encourage people to at least kind of look into it. It's just kind of a fun read. It helps put things in perspective. The other thing, one of my favorite podcasts is an NPR podcast called Hidden Brain. It talks about, it's about behavior, human behavior, why we act the way we do. And I just think it's always fascinating, and it helps put context for me in my leadership role and also how I work with my family, because it gives personal stories too. So those are the two more, you know, business, I guess, related things that I do. And then I'm just, you know, I have to take time to tune out. So of course I read novels, and then I just started, I'm really excited about a paint by numbers kit. So I can just sit down and relax and shove things aside. So I'm just trying to, be able to check out, because when you're working virtually, I think one of the challenges have, you can literally work from time you wake up until you go to bed.
Yeah.
Because it never goes down. And you just have to check out and then try to do something that's completely unrelated to work, whether it's spending time with kids or doing a paint by numbers kit.
Yeah, that's a great point, because you'll burn out. You just will. Yep. And I love when you said it works for your work relationships and your family relationships. I think the older I get, the more I'm involved in Vistage, the more kind of work I do on myself, I realize there's a lot of correlations to being a leader in a business and how you interact with your spouse or your children.
Yep, absolutely.
Lines are getting more and more firm there for me.
Well, and the funny thing is when you have a challenge at work, and you're sitting around the dinner table and you're talking about maybe a internal conflict and how you're handling it, it's nothing like your kids who know you better. They go, yeah, mom, that's right. You are like that. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. They're like our mirrors.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Clarissa, thank you so much for your time today. Again, congratulations on your award, and just love hearing your story and your journey. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an honor, and I really appreciate it. And great questions. You would do a fantastic job of moderating the podcast. So really appreciate it.
Oh, awesome. Good. And as we wrap up and following Clarissa's recommendation, get involved. The Women's Franchise Committee has a page on the site. The WFN chapters, we have those listed so that you don't even have to be in the same physical space. You can attend those all virtually right now. But Clarissa also helped us reinvigorate the Atlanta chapter, which is still one of our strongest chapters. So get involved and reach out to us. We want to hear from you.